Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of BAMS Radio. It is Wednesday, November the 28th. It's championship week up in Tuscaloosa, where Alabama is staring down a very feisty Georgia Bulldog team. I am Thomas Watts, and I am proud to be here with Kerry Clark. Kerry, how you doing this evening?
Doing very well, Thomas. Thank you for asking.
Well,
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, go Bama. Yeah. Bird is with us, but he's a little under the weather. If you hear a random croaking in the background, that's probably him. Just kind of snicker off to the side and tell him he's awesome for running the tour tonight. Just a quick rundown for fans. Legend Island will begin around 9 tonight. We're going to be a little bit earlier on that. Kerry's busy, and, well, I'm still trying to wake up from the snoozer that was that Iron Bowl. Frankly, if you ask me, it's a good problem to have. But before we go anywhere with, you know, the SEC championship, Kerry, I would really like to get your reaction for this Iron Bowl. Have you ever seen a more lopsided contest in this rivalry?
No, I have not. I was not alive in 1947 when Alabama won 55-0. I saw 42-14 last year. And I saw on television 35-0 in Legion Field in the mid-70s, but never quite the beatdown that we saw Saturday. As I said on Twitter and Facebook both, the door to the woodshed is slowly but surely starting to swing open. And I said that after the second touchdown. And then after the third touchdown, I gave a shout-out to the Tyler Perry fans, and I told them that if they were looking for Medea, she was busy. She had gone to the closet and gotten out her bag of belts, meaning that somebody was fixing to get an ass whooping. And they did. It was expected. I tried to be nice on my prediction last week. I predicted a nostalgic score of 31-7. It wasn't going to be that close. I didn't. I wasn't 100% sure that Alabama would shut them out. But when you score in the first 7 positions, and then you put in your second team, and they only don't score because they fall on the 6th. And your defense does get a shutout. There really was not a whole lot to complain about. I mean, 42-0 at the half, 49-0. I'll give you one observation, though, Thomas. I've gone to every Iron Bowl since 1977, and I've never in my life seen that few Auburn fans in attendance in person. They knew what was coming. I think there might have been at the most 1,500 Auburn fans in Bryant-Denny. And I'm probably being generous. They were very hard to find. And, the TV cameras found a few of them during some of the more dominating of plays by Alabama and would show them hanging their heads and all that. But, I knew it was going to be a spanking. But I didn't know it was going to be the epic proportion that it was. And, wow. I mean, I know it's still
That's
a rivalry.
That's about all you can say.
I know it's still a rivalry because we live in the state with these people. But I think it's safe to say that as long as he stays at Alabama, Saban will never lose to Auburn again. And their question is that has got to be, you know, can they score on him again? Their offense hasn't scored on him.
Somebody's about to get cow-tipped. Their offense has scored on him in 3 years. Well, actually 2 years. It was 2010. They did get a defensive touchdown and a special teams touchdown in Jordan Hare last year. Who I think is their second choice after Bob Petrino. They may not score on Saban the rest of the time that he's at Alabama. That sounds like a brash statement, and it is a brash statement. But they are certainly not going to ever beat him again. The next Auburn victory over Alabama will be against whoever succeeds Saban, and there's no telling. That could be 10 or 12 years. I was alive, Thomas, in the 70s for 9 years in a row of Alabama wins over Auburn, and I was alive more recently for 6 wins in a row by Auburn over Alabama. Well, Alabama's only at 2 in a row right now, but that streak is going to go very, very, very deep into this millennium. So, yeah, it was just, you know, every paddle, every belt, every fly swatter, every ruler, all of them were worn out when the woodshed finally closed at about 6 o'clock Saturday.
Well, I can't say I disagree. Auburn, 2 years after a national championship, has really become a laughing stock. It's going to be hard for with this one. I know Auburn has recruited good talent, but discipline. Look at the Amari Cooper touchdown where three Auburn and you have three Auburn on the just eating dirt. It's going to take a coach that is, pardon my French, a little anal retentive to get some discipline back into that team. And the problem is just going to snowball. Is Auburn a quote-unquote bad job? No. You have a rabid fan base that will support the team, and you have top-notch facilities bought by SEC money. But look at who they're going against. Cross State, Nick Saban's, you know, Nick Saban is Nick Saban. That's all you really need to say about that. And you go, let's look past that. LSU, well, Les Miles just signed and got told he's getting an extension and a raise after this Arkansas ridiculous report that they might try and sign Les Miles. Texas A&M isn't going away. The only thing that'll stop Texas A&M is if Cliff Kingsbury leaves, which, as young as he is, I would be shocked. At this point, anything he would do would be a lateral move unless he's going to be a head coach somewhere. Arkansas, they'll be a middle-of-the-road team, a team that Bird has given a couple shout-outs to, and I completely agree with him. Hugh Freeze has got that thing rolling at Ole Miss. They just qualified for a bowl after an absolutely putrid couple of seasons under Houston Nutt. Robert Kimdichie, who has been a frequent topic of conversation on this program, his brother Denzel said that Robert would be committing to Ole Miss soon. And there's a certain amount of cachet that comes with landing the consensus number one recruit. So it's going to be an uphill battle for Auburn. But, and we talked about this a little bit off the air, you think that Bobby Petrino is going to make Auburn of the massive kids that are coming into the Auburn program right now?
Well, I think he's the number one choice. He has been lobbying them for 6 to 8 weeks to at least give him an interview, give him a shot. He definitely wants the job. It's the only upper D1 job that will even consider him after what he went through at Arkansas over the summer. There are a lot of Auburn people in power that don't want him because of you know, HR issues, morality issues. But there are also a lot of Auburn people in power that want to win, and he can get them at least back to, you know, their normal Chick-fil-A Bowl level. I don't think he would ever beat Saban, but
yeah,
he never has.
Always
had a lot more talent, so he's if he's beaten Saban, I don't know about it. I don't think he was there when Saban was at LSU.
Petrino's 0-5 against Nick Saban.
He's a good coach, but he's not a great coach. He's not in the level with Nick Saban or Urban Meyer or Chip Kelly. Or you got to say now, Brian Kelly. God, what a job that guy's doing. But, no, get back to your question. I think Petrino's the number one choice, and I think the compromise choice, if the powers that be can't come together, is Gus Malzahn. And that means Christy Malzahn, and that means a lot of fun. And Gus is like, shut up. So I think it's either Petrino or Malzahn. If it's somebody besides those two, I'm just going to have to say that I'm a little surprised.
Well, I have heard the same thing, and you know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm okay. It was Bobby Petrino. He hasn't beaten Nick Saban, but he's shown he can coach pretty well. It'd be a decent team under him. It'd certainly be better than the team that Gene Chizik has been fielding the past 24 months. So, good for them. I want to stay on coaches real quick, and I'm going to shoot off a little onto a tangent here. And I want to talk about the Kentucky coaching hire. For fans that don't know, Kentucky hired Mark Stoops. Yes, Mark Stoops. From the Florida State staff. And I've only heard whispers of this. I wanted to bring the name of Marquez White. Marquez White, in fact, who is now his coordinator. I wanted to get him here. Do you think that with a, I don't think actually, but if Mark has this new White in terms of on Alabama or Alabama's chances of landing?
I think Alabama had a pretty good shot. I think Alabama had a pretty good shot whether Stoops left or didn't leave. Alabama was recruiting Marquez White hard for 6 to 8 months. And Thomas, there's a very realistic shot that Alabama's going to take two of Jimbo Fisher's commitments away. Marquez White we know about, but now Austin Golson, the offensive lineman from Prattville, is looking around as well. So it might be that two in-state players who have been committed to Florida State for a long time, Golson over a year and White for roughly 9 months, I think, it may very well be that both of those young men signed with Alabama. At one time, it was believed that they would not even take an official visit to Alabama, but that's all changed in the last couple of, say, 1 to 1 month to 6 weeks. I would call Marquez White an Alabama lean right now, and I would call Austin Golson a guy who has got about a 40% chance, if not better, of ending up in Tuscaloosa. And I scouted Austin many times, you know, hoping in the back of my mind that he might change his mind. But every time I talked to somebody from Prattville, it was always like, no, he's firm to Florida State. Well, now he's saying, I'm committed to Florida State, but I'm going to take my visits, and one of them is going to be Alabama. So, like I said, it might be that Marquez White and Austin Golson end up decommitting from Florida State and signing with Alabama in February. It's very possible, and that would be a small measure of revenge for the crap that Fisher and Damian Craig pulled with Jameis Winston last year. A small measure of revenge, but well-deserved for what they did, you know, regarding him.
Well, no argument there, and that – Bird just made this comment in our back chat about how the season has changed. If you remember at the beginning of the year, FSU was just, they were the team. They were on the rise. They were back. They're going to compete for a national championship, and they're going to keep bringing in these gangbusters recruiting classes. They're going to be able to pull recruits from basically wherever they want. And now two of their guys that have been committed for a long time are kind of looking around. You know, I guess when Florida hangs 24 points in the fourth quarter to blow Florida State out, that raises some eyebrows to a level that people hadn't realized before. I'm going to keep going on coaches here because obviously the axe fell on a bunch of coaches this past week. Surprise to nobody, one, our good friend John L. Smith, or Larry. There you go. Larry from the Three Stooges was not retained by Arkansas. I do actually want to give the Razorback seniors a quick shout-out because they played LSU pretty tough on Friday but didn't come out with a win. Who do you see Kerry looking at that job? I know, Charlie Strong is a name that's been kicked around for every job in the Southeastern Conference. Butch Davis has been lurking, and then you have the white whale of John Gruden. So who do you hear about that?
Well, my gut feeling is Butch Davis, but I do think Charlie Strong is going to get a look. I was told by someone who I trust who has connections in the agent world that Arkansas has their man. Now, this guy wouldn't tell me who it is, but a lot of other people were making guesses, and he would say, no, and when I guessed Butch Davis, he didn't reply. So take that for what it's worth, probably not much. This is an Arkansas graduate, played at Arkansas, and is friends with well-known alum Jerry Johnson. I don't think he's got any connections with the Walton family, but and I'm talking about the ones that own Walmart, not John Boy and his family. But I think Butch has probably got a very good shot at that. I know he wants to get back into head coaching, and I think Butch would win at Arkansas. And when I say win, I mean 10-3 and lose to Nick Saban every year. But that's okay with those people. They don't live and breathe beating Alabama like some other people in the Western Division. If you go 10-3 every year at Arkansas and get to a January Bowl and sometimes a BCS Bowl, you'll have a job for 8 or 10 years. But I think Charlie Strong is a factor. I just have a gut feeling that Butch Davis is the guy right now at that job.
Well, I do appreciate your insight. We're going to take a quick break here. On the back end of the break, I think we'll talk a little bit more. I wanted to talk about John Gruden a little bit. And then we think we're going to move on maybe a little recruiting, or if somebody wants to call in and throw us a question, the number 714-510-3707. We'll be right back. It is Wednesday night on BAMS Radio.
Now you got to be ready.
Quarterback. When you can listen to BAMS Radio any day of the week, get your podcast at BAMS Radio anytime right here at BAMSRadio.com.
So, what makes BAMS Tailgate so darn special?
Sunbelt Inflatable Tents can supply you with custom designed tent for your tailgate needs. Corporations, businesses,
or just the most hardcore fans are the customers of Sunbelt Inflatable Tents.
Reach them at their website, www.sunbeltinflatabletents.com, and ask for Billy or call 251-247-1169 to order.
The FCC can add all the teams at once. We're still number one.
Roll Tide!
This is BAMS Radio.
And we're back live. This is Wednesday night BAMS Radio. Our normal horsemen of the BAMPocalypse are here. Flips off and Bird is croaking, but you got Kerry and I, we're shooting the breeze about college football. And I do actually want to digress, Kerry. the John Gruden thing to Tennessee is a little ridiculous, and the only thing I really wanted to bring up was the potential ownership stake in the Browns, which is just weird. But that's not really an issue. That's been shot down. I wanted to actually talk a little conference realignment, like our drop said. Maryland defects to the Big Ten, along with Rutgers to give the Big Ten 14 teams. And then the ACC adds Louisville. So I guess my question to you, or my question to the listeners, if you want to call in, the number 714-510-3707 is, when does this stop? Does the SEC now counter the Big Ten move and go to 16 in the near future? Or does Mike Slive stand pat and wait until the playoff spins up and then the SEC establishes itself as an even more dominant conference? What do you think, Kerry?
I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that stuff, Thomas, but I will tell you my opinion very briefly in a nutshell is that it's not going to stop until you have four 16-team power conferences, meaning that only 64 teams a year will be able to compete for the BCS National Championship. We're not there yet, and to answer one of your questions, yes, I do think the SEC will eventually add two teams, but I don't think it stops until you have four 16-team mega conferences. So that's the short answer. But I frankly don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it because I know that Alabama
No, I agree. I kind of wanted to get your take on that, Kerry. It's kind of a hot button issue. I have to agree with you. I don't pay a ton of attention. And yes, at and as long as Saban is at Alabama, will either be at or near the top of the heap, no matter what. So, you know, just kind of a fun discussion. I think we just lost Blog Talk, I think.
Oh, you would be correct. Hello, yeah. Thomas. We're back.
Awesome.
So Thomas asked me a question while we were off there. He wanted to know my opinion about when the expansion and the conference swapping around would stop, and I don't think hardly any of my answer was on the air, so I'll give you the short version. I think it stops when you have four 16-team mega conferences, including the SEC, meaning that only 64 football teams will be competing for those four playoff spots, which I think will eventually, Thomas, become eight playoff spots in a few years. But it's going to be four for the first several years of it. But I think it doesn't stop until you have that 64-team alignment locked up. And that does mean that at some point Notre Dame is going to have to join a conference, whether it's Big East or whatever. So that's where I see that going. Alabama's in the SEC. That's the toughest conference. That's really my focus. But that's pretty much in the years, Thomas.
No, I think we're good now. I was saying before we had a little Blog Talk fart there. The SEC can add two more teams, and as long as Nick Saban is at Alabama, the Tide will be at or near the top of the heap. So it doesn't. Me as an Alabama fan, me as someone who covers the University of Alabama, it doesn't really affect me. It's just one of those interesting things. The only thing that bothers me, quite honestly, is how some of this alignment is going on because it's so based on, I need to get into this TV market or that TV market. And I know that money is the root of all evil and, you know, all those other cliches, but I do think it's unfortunate that rivalries like Texas A&M, Texas are no longer played, even though A&M and Texas will probably match up in the Cotton Bowl this year. But that's
That'll
not.
Be fun.
Yeah, I would love to go to that game just because I like football. But I liked watching those games. I liked watching Texas play Texas A&M when I was high on tryptophan and, you know, Paula Deen's 3-pound cake thing. That was my thing on Thanksgiving. But I am a very small fish in a very large. just move on to Georgia. I know we only have you for about another half an hour, you know, maybe a little less than that. I actually have a preview. I did some work, you know, astonishingly, I did some work for the radio show. I know that's just a weird, funky issue. And the best way for me to put my breakdown on the air is I simply do not understand why all of the pundits, how they can look at statistics and say that Georgia's going to come in and beat Alabama on – sorry, I just got a text message from a friend arguing with me about Texas and Texas A&M.
Don't let us disturb you and your friend's conversation.
No,
there.
No.
I will answer your question while you return the text.
No. I'm not going to text him back. It was just like someone shot me something and my phone blew up. I apologize. But
Thomas, Georgia's going to win. You're a douchebag. Your friend, Jimmy. But let me ask you a question. The reason – okay, two part answer, Thomas. Part one, nobody that knows football is picking Georgia, okay? They're not. But, and we'll go into that later. Playing 45 minutes from their campus. Come on. Okay, number two, the reason why a certain few amount of days, and they have talent, and they have shown flashes of heretofore unknown mental toughness under Mark Richt. They've not been known for mental toughness, but they showed some mental toughness a few times this year at Missouri against a harsh crowd on the road, in Jacksonville, a game they were one, maybe two plays from losing, blowing a lead. They showed some toughness, and Mark Richt teams haven't done that in the past. So I think they're going to put up a pretty good fight. I'm picking Alabama by 10 points, around 24-14 or something along that nature. But they're not going to just lay down and die, in my opinion. They have some guys that are going to be playing on Sundays, as does Alabama. I think the difference in the game is that Alabama, with people like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and Scott Cochran, I think Alabama is just a little bit more mentally tough.
I agree with you. One of the things that you and I laughed about with Bird before the show is Georgia players have actually been saying that, you know, we've been there before and Alabama hasn't. And when I first read that statement, I had to do a tremendous because the concept that Alabama doesn't know what's coming in a game is so preposterous to me that it's insane. Okay, great. Alabama has been in the SEC championship game since 2009. But what happened last year? They were in the national championship game, which was probably bigger. That is just was just ridiculous to me. But you know, going back to my statistics argument, before I decided to reach my cell phone, it's really a lopsided deal. Alabama and Georgia have almost the same number of total yards on offense. Alabama has 400 less. But the biggest discrepancy is in rushing yards allowed. Georgia has allowed almost 1,000 more yards than Alabama through the season. Now, yes, has Georgia been playing better in the very recent past? They have, absolutely. But let's look at their opponents since Florida. And Florida, I've said it once, I'll say it again. Any team that needs has been given five turnovers in a game and then needs to force a sixth, which is a fumble into the end zone to seal the game, probably shouldn't win that game most times because something's very wrong. But moving past that whole Florida debate, they've played Ole Miss, they've played Auburn, they've played Georgia Southern, and they've played Georgia Tech. Well, for those playing the home game, Auburn just fired their head coach and is universally just awful. Ole Miss, pretty good program, like I said earlier, just qualified for a bowl. Georgia Southern's not even in what is now the football bowl subdivision. And Georgia Tech had to apply for a waiver to go bowling if they're 6-7 when Florida has them in the ACC championship game. So you're not exactly setting the world on fire. Oh, Georgia Tech, just for those of you who want to impress your friends around the water cooler, lost to Middle Tennessee State this year. Just, you know, fun little fact there. So Georgia has been playing better defensively since they almost lost to Kentucky. But with the exception of Florida and maybe Ole Miss, depending on how much stock you put into Hugh Freeze's team, they haven't played competition anywhere near Alabama. Yes, Georgia has talent. Yes, Georgia will play a good game. But to base an argument over Georgia's last month of play coming into Alabama is just completely spurious and utterly insane. Aaron Murray is 1-8 or 1-9 against top 25 competition. His first win was against Florida, where he had 150 yards and three interceptions. So he actually tried to lose the game for Georgia. He probably had about 100 total, except for the 47-yard touchdown pass to Malcolm Mitchell in that game. So I'm not really buying how Aaron Murray is just going to set the world on fire. There was a question in chat about how much does the crowd in the Georgia Dome weigh in favor of the Dogs. I have actually had this discussion with a few people. The way tickets work, it's the same thing like a big bowl game. Each team gets a certain number of tickets, and it's broken down that way. And there is not been a game in my memory that I can think of where Alabama, when they've been a competitive team, where fans have not bought tickets from the opposition, if they're available, and stuffed that stadium with crimson to the best of their ability. So I don't see a massive, you know, it's not going to be a quote-unquote home game in my mind for Georgia, even though they are very close. What do you think about that, Kerry?
I agree. I don't think it's going to be a dominant amount of Georgia fans there. Alabama fans are known to travel. I have had a few Alabama fans tell me that they were going to save their money for Miami and not go to this one. But for every person like that, there's another guy who knows he can't go to Miami that's going to go to this game. So, you know, when you look around the stadium, it might be 55-45 Georgia, but I don't even know if that's going to be the case. There's going to be a ton of crimson in that stadium. I mean, if I'd have known I wasn't going to get a press pass, I might have tried to get tickets, but I guess this one was meant for me to watch on television. By the way, Thomas, I don't want to hijack this conversation, but I've just been informed by someone who would know to not be surprised if Arkansas hires Gary Patterson from TCU. So
really?
I'm not telling you it's a done deal, but I'm telling you that there's a good chance. So I know that was not a name we mentioned earlier.
A bad TCU team and made them legitimate. Well, not a bad TCU team. That's a stretch. But
he did.
Made them.
Well, Fran left him some decent players.
Yeah, he did. I agree. But they just beat Texas, who, even though Texas has been a shell of itself since Marcel Darius smashed Colt McCoy in the shoulder, it's still Texas. So, you know, there's something to be said there. But
yeah,
wow.
Georgia, they have a lot of talent a lot of times, but they don't always produce with it. Georgia's known for off-field activity by their players. And apparently, you know, going by this week, known for players running their mouths in interviews. But Georgia, make no mistake about it, Georgia has some very, very good football players. Now, I did not know until I heard Phil Savage, who used to be an NFL scout and knows these things, I did not know that Aaron Murray was basically Drew Brees' height. I thought he was a little taller than that. I did not know that he was like 6'0.5", but he is. So that could play a factor when Alabama's big guys running there with their arms up. I could see Alabama batting a few balls down at the line of scrimmage, at least one or two Saturday. I really thought Murray was about 6'2", 6'1.5", but I'm being 6'0.5". So, but Aaron's a good quarterback. He right now, he's
to say about the game. Crap again. All right, Roll Tide.
Well, I think we cleared up. Just a little burst of badness there.
Okay. Well.
But no, to your point about Aaron Murray, I didn't know that. That's actually a great point. I didn't know he was that short. To explain to fans why being that short is a problem, it's simple physics. When you're 6'1", your release point is at the head of your offensive linemen who are trying to stand up defensive players. When you're 6'2", your release point is high enough to where it's harder to bat a ball down. That's why Drew Brees, if you watch him play, he has to hit throwing lanes. Otherwise, he gets balls batted down a lot. Am I saying that Alabama has NFL talent to bat balls down as much as, you know, Drew Brees might have to fight through it? No, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying it could happen. But, you know, back to Carey's point, I want to really hit this one hard. Looking at the career start chart for Georgia, they've got a wide receiver that's a three-year starter in Tavarius King. Aaron Murray has started every game he's been on the field for. Todd Gurley and Keith Marshall are great tailbacks, and they're true freshmen. Gurley's the third highest rusher in Georgia history behind, you know, this fella named Herschel Walker, who kind of set college football on fire. And no Sean Moreno, who actually had an interesting game with the Broncos. He got reactivated and had a good game, so he's a starting NFL running back. But, you know, you did mention talent, particularly on the defensive side, and I want to touch on the one that everybody knows in Jarvis Jones.
Number 29.
Jarvis Jones is a phenom. He has almost 19 and a half sacks. I've got that number right. Tops of the SEC in tackles for loss. Near the top, excuse me. Jermontre Moore and him are basically clones of each other. Near the top in loss. They're their career starts. Sean Williams will be there for, and it's why is that not lost? One of the suspended players in the Mike McCarthy in a game is a linger tackle. So in third, excuse me, in third set of the game, linger tackle is a thing. Now, I want to talk about the man in the middle, Don Jenkins, before we go any further. He's wearing a smash mouth SEC football player. Our guy is line up your guy, and whoever is the man to get the yard for loss, all you do is watch Eric Jones versus John Jenkins. John Jenkins is the Georgia defensive nose tackle. He's 6'3", 351 pounds, a real monster in the middle, going against maybe Alabama's best lineman, depending on who you talk to, whether it's Chance Warmack or Barrett Jones. I don't really want to get into that debate. But that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And if Jenkins gets moved because Georgia runs a 3-4, that sets up a lot of stuff because linebackers can't run free to make tackles, which will give Alabama that initial push. And Georgia has shown that they can give up some rushing yards. So a lot of really fun matchups in this one. But before we go any further, and I want to get into a little more of the Georgia offense now that I've covered some of the playmakers on defense, let's take a quick break. It's around 8:40. We kind of smashed through the 8:30 break, so we'll just kind of combine them, and then Legend should be on in about 20 minutes. Once again, if you want to call in and talk Georgia, or we can go back to the Iron Bowl if you want to, you know, laugh about how Auburn's awful, the number is 714-510-3707. You are listening to BAMS Radio. Take it away, Bird.
I want everybody to think here for a second. How much does this game mean to you? Because if it means something to
you, you can't stand still. You understand? You play fast. You play strong. You punch there and dominate the guy you're playing against and make his ass quit. That's our trademark. That's our MO as a team. Like, that's what people love us as. Make his ass quit. Make his ass quit. Make his ass quit. Make his ass quit. Make his ass quit.
It is Wednesday night, 8:41 p.m. Central Time on the 28th of November, and you're listening to BAMS Radio on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for joining us. You got Bama Bird running the board. You got Thomas Watts and Kerry C.C. Bama Clark. That's me talking SEC football, specifically Georgia-Alabama football, specifically about to go to the Georgia offense. But before we get to that, I wanted to give a shout-out about our good friend Bama Dog's mom, also known as Jamie Davis. One of her friends has made a handmade Alabama to help expenses. Prince Wembley, Derek Flagg, and Tony Alonso, all of the national championship team, were all gracious enough to autograph this quilt. The raffle tickets to have a chance to win it are $5 each, and the money can be dropped off within. They can be purchased for $7 each using PayPal, the higher cost, of course, being due to the expense of PayPal processing. Now, that is good through Saturday, December 1st at 12 p.m. Central. The quilt will be on display, weather permitting. Well, it was on display at the Iron Bowl, and tickets are going to be available, like I said, through Friday in person gaming. I'll get to that. It will be on during halftime of the Alabama SEC championship game. And more information can be at www.facebook.com/nomo-cancer-4-j-bama-quilt-raffle. You could go to PayPal at bamadawg.com/quilt_raffle.php. And we encourage everyone to buy a $5 chance to win this autographed quilt and help Jamie out with her expenses. She's a great, great person, great Bama fan. She has a very nice daughter. Just a great person. And
what we'll do is make sure that's available on the website, so on the Facebook here or on the BAM website. So I'm going back to mute. Thank you for saying that, Kerry, and get well, Jamie.
And I will work on my reading comprehension skills. Time to give me a PSA. But thank you for letting me help. Back to Georgia, you were about to move over to the offensive side of the ball for the Bulldogs. So if you would, give us your thoughts on that, please, sir.
Absolutely.
We're back. about the technical difficulties. We just lost about a minute and a half there. Sorry about that, Thomas. I saw a picture on James Spann's Twitter earlier tonight of the moon with Jupiter in the back of it with a satellite. We apologize for that. But we are back now. So I'll ask the question again. What tells us that the ball of the Georgia Bulldogs?
Okay, Kerry, this is technical difficulty in the show. It's fun. I mentioned it before we went to break, and I wanted to mention it again about our start 37 games. The Bulldogs, definitely their number one wide receiver at this point. Georgia has had two wide receivers go down with major injuries, though. Michael Bennett was Bulldogs' number one receiver. He went down. Then Marlon Brown took over for Michael Bennett, and then also went down. So they're left King and a fellow by the name of Malcolm Mitchell. Malcolm Mitchell, if Bama fans are big recruitniks, will remember the name. He chose Georgia over Alabama at the end of his recruiting cycle, and is good enough to play both offense and defense. He's that much of an athlete. He played some games at cornerback. He started three games for the Bulldogs at cornerback, but he had to move to wide receiver to make up for the losses of Bennett and Brown. So you've got a guy who very high, very, very athletic, but hasn't gotten the season with the reps. So you almost have to feel like the wide receiver position is a weakness. Tight ends, Georgia has a guy, you might remember him also from a recruiting battle, Jay Rome. Rome is a true freshman, but he's been getting better. It's one of those, as the season goes on, he becomes a better player. But Aaron Lynch is the leader of the group. He has some seam speed. It'll be one of those things where if Alabama gives up a seam route, Lynch can catch it. What's really interesting is looking at the Georgia offensive line. Oh, excuse me. It was Arthur Lynch. Excuse me. I apologize. The Georgia offensive line, there's no really long-tenured starter on it. The left tackle has had 24 career starts, and that's the best they've got. So, and their center is just really started this year, as did their right tackle. Now, their right tackle, John Theus, was a very highly rated player, but Georgia's offensive line can be, I guess you could say, a little suspect. If there's a weakness on the team in terms of overall talent level, it is the offensive line, or excuse me, not overall talent level, but starting. Experience. Todd Gurley, Keith Marshall. They've got a 14-game record in 12. They've put up a ton of yards. It's just been the defense has been oddly suspect, and it's very interesting that that's happened because Georgia has a ton of talent. They did have the four starters that sat early in the year, but I can't explain why the Georgia defense is not much, much better than it should. It's not much, much better than it is stat-wise. It's a mystery even to somebody like me that is a stats nerd. So if we're going to make a pick on this game, I'm going to go with you. I think 27-17, 27-14, something in that range, 10 to 14 points, depending on who gets that last possession and if there's a game-sealing touchdown. So, and yes, to the shout-out in the chat room, Viking Horse, this is a Mark Richt coach team. They have a tendency to disappear in the big game. That is something that you can't really you can't bank on. You can't, there's no point spread for Mark Richt's stupidity. Cases. But anyway, Carrie, I wanted to get a pick real quick. What do you think? I'm in to score, but I'm going to hold you to it.
I'm going to go Alabama 4, Georgia 14. Before we go any further, another coaching.
Oh, that's
another
correct.
No. Carrie's good. It's good. I'm not muted.
No, you're golden. Keep going. You're golden.
Okay. I think it's going to be 24-14, but it's a 10-point margin. Strong has just come out and told the media that he's not in an interview with he has a job. So I asked Charlie Strong if he interviewed with Auburn today. To my knowledge, he did either, but who knows. But back to the game. And by the way, I don't know if we were on there or not, but it appears that Sirius now has the inside track for the Arkansas job if we were off air when I said earlier. So Charlie Strong denies interviewing with Auburn. Gary Patterson, very possibly the next coach in Fayetteville. Back to the SEC championship game. I'm going to say 24-14 Alabama, since you're going to hold to it. That's this. Your pick of 27-17. One of our buddies that met us for lunch down there, Jimmy Stein, a.k.a. LJS Law, actually picked three Alabama scores on the until we lost to A&M. He had a role in there early in the year, and he is a 27-17 Alabama. So he's actually better at picking scores than I am. So, but the 10-point margin, either way, you can have 24-14. And if either of us correct, then Alabama's heading to Miami. It's win-win.
I have no problem with either of those scores being correct, personally.
Yeah, and shout out to James Fan for that picture he put on Twitter that shows Jupiter right behind the moon, because it's obviously wreaking havoc on our satellite tonight. And we apologize for the technical issues during the program, but rest assured, this time it was not our fault.
There's a first time for everything. Well, we do have a caller if you wanted to take a caller before you shot out of here.
What's the area code?
It's a 256 area code. So.
Yeah, I think I know who that is, so let's take it.
All right. I can't screen because it's just me and you.
I'm just going to take a wild guess and say, what's up, Marty?
I don't think it's Marty, but 256-412. You're on the air at BAMS Radio. Who you got? Who's this? What's your thing?
Hey, this is Jocelyn.
Hey, Jocelyn. How you doing this evening?
What's up?
I'm good. How about y'all? Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. What you got for us this evening?
I was just going to say how proud I am of how Alabama has played all year. I mean, you know, they have put their best in all the games that they have played, and they have worked so hard, and I couldn't have been much prouder. And win or lose, I'll always be a big Alabama fan. And going on to this SEC championship game, I'm excited about it. I think that Alabama's going to win, but it's going to be maybe a close game as well. And my final prediction is Alabama 24 and Georgia 10.
Okay. I can live with that. That's good. I came by the tent be looking for you and Daniel, but I did not see y'all Saturday. I'm sorry. I missed you if y'all came by there.
Take that.
All right.
Okay.
Roll Tide, Jocelyn.
Well,
Roll Tide.
Yeah, Roll Tide, Jocelyn. Thank you for calling in.
You're all welcome. Roll Tide.
I don't even know if we're on the air or not, but if we are, I agree with what Jocelyn said. There's a lot to be proud of for this team. They could have packed it in when they lost that tough game to A&M, but what it did was it awoke a hunger in them, and it awoke a focus in them that maybe they had lost for the first quarter of that game. If they'd come in that game completely focused, they probably wouldn't have been down 20-0. But they woke up and only held A&M to 9 points the last three quarters of the game. So you could see signs of them waking up then.
And, of course, they played two pretty bad opponents in a row and won by a combined 98-0 in the next two games. So I'd say the focus is back for the boys from Tuscaloosa. And we'll see how much focus the boys from Athens have come 3 o'clock Central Time Saturday afternoon. Should be a very interesting game. Should be a very competitive game between two teams that are going to put a lot of people on the field on Sunday afternoons in the future, and two teams that have excellent recruiting staffs, which is what it's all about. I just think that the mental toughness edge in this one goes to Alabama. That's just my personal opinion. Maybe I'm biased, but I don't know if Georgia even has a version of Scott Cochran. Maybe they do. I don't know. But I tell you what, you'll be hard-pressed to find a bunch of mentally tougher kids than what Alabama trots out there every Saturday afternoon.
Well, thank you very much for that, Craig. I got kicked off briefly, so I'm not real sure where we were going with that. I apologize. My bandwidth must be eating. Someone is in my network. I'll have to take care of that. But anyway, were you talking to Marty? Because he is live with us at this point.
I was hoping he would call so I could give him a death chart I haven't given him in a few weeks. Participation chart, excuse me.
Well, Marty, are you there? I believe I have you on live.
Yes, you do.
Awesome. Great.
Hey,
Marty.
Y'all sound like Martian aliens talking, but I'm hearing most of it.
You probably do better than us then.
Yeah.
I'm hearing about every other word. But Marty, I wasn't able to give you a participation chart the last couple of weeks, but I've got you one this week if you want to hear it.
I'd love to hear it because, you know, a 49-0 beatdown of the Barn, you know, everybody had to play. Good grief.
66% were good. Some of those other four were redshirt. So, yes, you started, Marty. Offense, you had tackle Lars Quandro, guard Chance Warwick, center Barrett Jones, and guard Anthony Steen. Tackle DJ Luker, tight end Michael Williams, H-back Christian Jones, he actually was in the slot. Quarterback H.J. Barron, halfback Eddie Lacy. Receiver Amari Cooper, and receiver Kevin Norwood. Defense, you had Ed Stinson, Damian Square at end, and Jesse Williams on the nose. And how funny was it before the game when they showed Jesse Williams and his dad on the Jumbotron during senior day? And Jesse's done sticking his teeth, and his dad stuck his tongue at the same time. And his dad is about Saban's size. So it was really funny. But anyway, you had Sam linebacker Adrian Hubbard, Mike linebacker Trey DePriest, Will linebacker Nico Johnson, and Jack Xavier Dixon. You had the corners, Deion Ballou, and the middle safeties, Robert Lester and Nick Perry. So Nick got back from the starting lineup. They played a total of 66 guys, Marty. So off the bench, you had Ladarius Owens. That was Auburn. You had Ranzel Watkins, who was a walk-on that got into the game on kickoffs and cornerback. You had John Fulton. You had another walk-on at wide receiver, Nathan McAllister. He's played in several games in a row now. You had Cody Mandel, who got to punt a total of two times. You had Tanae Patrick, who played well. Vinny Sinceri, T.J. Yeldon, who looked good. Carson Tinker at snapper. Jeremy Shelley, who still is the only kicker in America not to have missed all year. Hasn't missed a field goal, hasn't missed an extra point. Nobody else in the whole year that but Jeremy Shelley. Blake Sims came in, looked good at quarterback. Ha-ha Clinton Dix played well. Kenny Bell got injured. He's out for the year. That's probably why we're going to see Chris back on the participation chart for the first time this Saturday. You had Cyrus Jones, Jeffrey Pagan, who was the defensive player of the week, got a sack of Jonathan Wallace. You had Quentin Bradley Silva, Kenyon Baker, who had an unforced fumble, or Alabama, we would have broken the 55-point record most bowl if Kenyon hadn't coughed it up down there on the six. But you had Reggie Ragland, Jonathan Atchison, both at linebacker. You had Brent Callaway, a little bit at running back and a lot on the kickoff team. Jabril Washington on special teams and at corner. Same for Geno Smith. You had Dylan Lee playing some linebacker and Cade Foster kicking off. Cade did a pretty good job. Kept him inside the 25, I think, all but one time. You had LaMichael Fanning at defensive end, but he didn't probably slam anybody. You had DJ Petway on defensive line and Brandon Ivory at nose guard, who's battling an ankle but was back at practice full strength today for the first time all week. You had Kellen picking up at tackle. Along with Austin Shepard. He's another reason that Chris Black is probably going to drop the red shirt Saturday. You had Harrison Jones at tight end and Brian Vogler as well, along with Malcolm Faison.
Then you had Chris Bonds, who doesn't play hardly ever, but he played against Auburn, defensive end number 93. And then you had big freshman nose guard Aaron Lake from Sumter County. So, Marty, a total of 66 guys got in while the door to the woodshed was still open Saturday.
Wow, on 85 scholarship roster, that's unreal.
Pretty solid.
Hey,
while we got you, Marty, why don't you give us your prediction for Saturday while we got you on, Marty?
Well, I've been really going over that over and over and over in my head. And, you know, I know Georgia's got a good defense. I do think our defensive front four or front three or whatever we run there will match up pretty well against Georgia's offensive line. I've been looking at some of the – everybody's talking about how great Georgia is and all this. And you go back and look at all the statistics over the year, and, you know, Alabama's right there with them, if not better – in some of the statistics that they're talking about, sacks and all that. So, you know, if Alabama comes ready to play, focused, comes out and hits Georgia in the mouth real quick, I think this game could be a 38-14 type game. That's what I'm hoping for, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, that would certainly be a spanking for two teams that are so evenly matched. Wow, 38-14. I hope you're right. I had 24-14, and Thomas had 27-17. But 38-14 would be quite a beatdown, Marty. I hope you're right. That would really make a statement, particularly to the recruits that are watching the game. So, again, it's always good to hear from you, Marty. Appreciate your call. You got anything else for us tonight?
No, I just heard that Bill Belichick was going to be the next coach for Auburn. They're going to, you know, pay him $40 million for a 5-year contract.
And on a serious note, I heard that Gary Patterson might be the next coach at Arkansas.
That'd be a great hire.
Some kind of music that sounded like it was from a strip club or a porno movie just started playing in the background. And so I guess that means Legend's with us. You there, Legend?
Legend should
What's
be live.
What's going on, brother? What's going on? What's going on? Just landing on the island. What's going on BAMS tonight? I just heard Highway 66. You forgot the water boy.
Yeah, I think he got in there that last play. I think he missed that tackle on that last play that let Trey Mason get that 1,000 yards, Legend.
Yep, that was it. That was it. Damn water boy. Never put a water boy in to do a man's job.
But our Rudy Ben Howell did pretty good, though.
Yeah. I was really impressed with the overall. We really got a young, talented football team at the University of Alabama. And it's a dynasty, boys. These are the glory days. These are the days you kick back and say, thank you, Jesus. yes, I do have Bama Vodka already here on the island tonight, sitting by the Pink Faggot store, if you're wondering. Hey, guys, y'all ready to do the island? What's going on?
Is about to jump out for the evening. Sorry, I think we had a little hiccup there. Jump off, and I think Bird is too. Bird's feeling a little under the weather, and I'm going to take over the board. But you will have me and callers on this on the talk a little Bama beatdown. If you have a break, let's jump up the island. I'll take over for you. Muted. Be heard, so take over if you want to do it out.
Well, we're having some technical difficulties evidently. I'm having a problem here in Thomas. We ask you to bear with us. As everyone knows, tonight it's a time of football madness as we approach the SEC championship game. Thomas, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Legend. I'm having a little bit of a connectivity issue. I might have to throw a restart. Not real sure.
All right. Talk
but
to us.
I can hear you now.
Okay. We appreciate everybody bearing with us here on BAMS Radio. You're welcome to call in tonight at 714-510-3707. We're talking college football on the island tonight. We're getting excited about what's coming up Saturday. Thomas, you ready for Saturday, brother?
Well, it's going to be pretty special for me because I've been studying these past 2 months for the law school aptitude test, and I'm taking it right before, and I will finish right before the game kicks off. So I'm going to be exhausted, and I know I'm going to want a little bit of Crown Royal in my cup after that test. So it's going to be a good time no matter what come game time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little better game than what some people think. I think this is a very good Georgia team, and everything would point in Georgia's direction except for one thing. They're Georgia.
Well, there is that little fact.
They specialize in losing games like this, Thomas. This is what Georgia does. They specialize in losing games like this.
Well, the stat before you came on, I gave Aaron Murray is in games against top 25 teams. His one win was a game that he actually tried very hard against Florida earlier this year. So I can't say that I know it's going to be a good game, but to say I'm extremely nervous about it would be a little bit of a stretch.
You see, what's the kind of score you're looking at, Thomas?
Kerry had 24-14. I took 27-17.
See, me and you on the same page. I got 27-14 Alabama. I say at the end of the day, the truth is Georgia will not be able to deal with an offensive line the likes that Alabama has. I've seen Tennessee just gash Georgia on a Saturday night and really push that defense to the test. Yes, they have great players at certain positions, Rambo, Jones, these are Oaktree. These are great players, but overall, I still don't think this defense can deal with an offensive line that will come at it like the University of Alabama will have on Saturday for future first-round draft picks. Keep this in mind now, Chance Warmack, considered the second-best player on Mel Kiper Jr.'s board right now. Cyrus Kudrow, possibly when he comes out a year from now, will be the first left tackle taken. DJ Fluker, another first-round draft pick, may move to left tackle in the pros. And Barrett Jones, who probably will win another Outland Trophy very soon. It will be the top center picked in the NFL draft. You have to remember at the end of the day, though Georgia has great talent, they don't have that kind of talent. Let me go old school. This is a Dwight Stevens, John Hanna type offensive line. This is where Alabama wins the game. T.J. Yeldon, look for a big day. Eddie Lacy, a big day. The fact is you can't run on the Alabama defense. Georgia will try. They will have some success. But at the end of the day, 5'11", Aaron Murray, and King and Mitchell will not be enough. Are you believing me tonight, Thomas? I'm preaching in the college football church tonight, the church of college football.
Amen.
We got Bird.
Amen.
Bird, thank God Bird's with us.
Not for long. I wouldn't say I agree with you. So, you know, it's keep the hands out of Murray. Keep all the hands of Murray, and Alabama will win this game. As simple as that. Run, Bama, run. That's the key.
I like that, Bird. Do you think Murray and his receivers are a threat to this Alabama secondary?
No. I don't think we even looked at Auburn to prepare. I think we've been preparing for 2 weeks for Georgia.
Well, brother, you sound bad tonight. We love you, man.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you guys have it. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, Bird.
Brother. That's Bama Bird. We're praying for him tonight. He's sounding bad, but he's still – he got too much Bama in him, Thomas Watts.
He's the boss.
What do you think about what Bird just said? You think this game is a threat? Do you see under any circumstances that Georgia can win Saturday night?
I think what has beaten Alabama this year is the same thing that would beat Alabama on Saturday. Alabama gives Georgia a couple of turnovers, and Georgia hits a couple of big plays. Let's go back to Texas A&M. Texas A&M comes out focused. Alabama makes a couple of mistakes. Alabama's in a 20-point hole, still almost claws back to win. It's going to take a game where
Alabama gives the opposition maybe a couple of turnovers or a couple of, you know, drive-killing sacks or drive-killing penalties, you know, whatever mistake you want to say, to really give a team a good chance of beating Alabama. Am I saying that Georgia can't create that mistake? Heck no. Jarvis Jones can force two or three fumbles, and that could be the mistake that Georgia needs to win the game. But that's not a great thing to bank on. And I want to reinforce a point, well, two points that were just made. One, I want to give a big-time shout-out to Eddie Lacy, because I said this right before, I think, the Missouri game, or maybe right after the Tennessee game, but Eddie Lacy was about to blow up. And all he's done since then is basically prove my point. He is healthy, and he's chomping at the bit to get himself another ring. So if there's one guy that you want to play Powerball with, it's Eddie Lacy. Yeldon's a great running back, but I would expect Lacy to really come out firing on all cylinders on Saturday. And I want to touch on the wide receiver thing that was brought up, and I actually want to look at it from Bama defensive standpoint. It has been reported in practice that Geno Smith, true freshman corner, has taken over nickel and dime, taken over basically the slot in the nickel and the dime for Vinny Sanceri. Now, I love Vinny Sanceri, but he has become or has been shown to be a pretty big liability in coverage. So with Geno Smith sliding in there, who is much more a true cornerback, he's not a safety trying to play corner, that makes when Georgia goes to spread Alabama out, it means that it's not just going to be this automatic find Vinny Sanceri one-on-one with whoever and throw to him situation. So that thing where Alabama had to basically redraw their defense against Texas A&M and drop D. Milner into the slot and push John Fulton out on that big 6'5 Evans, that's not going to happen. Milner can play into the boundary, can play on the outside, and Geno Smith can play on the inside, and you have a little more coverage athleticism on the field because of it. If Alabama is able to do that, able to effectively play nickel and some dime when Georgia goes multiple wide receivers, you are really set up for a game that can be frustrating to Aaron Murray because he can't find that little weak link in the Alabama secondary. So definitely some things happening, even at practice, that are very encouraging to me as a football person for Alabama. What do you think about that, Legend?
Good stuff, Thomas. Hey, you listening to the Church of College Football tonight here on Legend Island, me and Thomas. We can preach about Alabama all day. Other big issues in college football we're going to touch on tonight. I'd like to give a shout-out to all our sponsors tonight, a shout-out to Ace Tree and Landscaping right here in Birmingham, Alabama. My boy Brad, he can help you from the ground up. Any problems you have in landscaping or a tree, bad trees or anything, give my boy Brad a call at Ace Tree and Landscaping. Hey, Thomas, I want to ask you this question right quick. Big-time situation for a true freshman, if this is correct, and I have absolute faith in your information. A lot of chatter this week that the red shirt will be pulled off of wide receiver Chris Black. Any word on that tonight?
I'm going to give Kerry Clark a shout-out on that. CC, he tweeted that apparently Marvin Shin had a little hamstring problem, so it's a pretty certain deal that Chris Black will play on Saturday, pull off that red shirt to play in the SEC championship, and assuming Alabama gets to Miami, he will play in the national championship game as well. And the thing about Chris Black is he was thought of as highly, if not more, even more higher than, excuse me, terrible wording, thought of even better than Amari Cooper coming out of fall camp before he had that shoulder injury. I've read that Cooper is a bit more polished, but lacks a tougher one-on-one matchup. So if Georgia decides to combo cover Amari Cooper, which they probably should as Alabama's biggest wide receiver threat, that leaves Chris Black one-on-one, and there's no film on him. Georgia might scout Chris Black and pull his high school film. That's about all they've got. So that's a real big unknown, not only for Alabama, but for Georgia. I wouldn't be surprised, assuming Chris Black and A.J. McCarron have some kind of chemistry, to see Chris Black have a really, really good game against Georgia.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of people forget that Chris Black caught like 5 passes for 70 yards in the A-Day game where Amari Cooper had no catches in that game. And you're right, Chris Black was a 5-star receiver out of Florida. Matter of fact, the number one wide receiver out of the state of Florida last year, Amari Cooper, the number 2. Alabama really cleaned up in the state of Florida at the skill position last year. And Chris Black is, he really reminds me a lot, I hate to say it, of Tyrone Prothero. And he's an exciting player, and this is a bold move, but this is a championship move. Sometimes you got to make your move. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes your opportunity can pass you by. You have to make your move. You have to have that boldness. And this is a bold move, I think, by the University of Alabama, but one that could help reap a 15th national championship. And I would pull a red shirt off a player at this stage in the game if it brings me another ring. It's all about the bling bling. Pass the offering plate up in the church of college football. Bling bling. You know I'm telling the true football fan. It's about the bling. That's why we watch. We don't watch to come in second. We watch to win championships. That's what it's about.
And the thing, this has also been said, but I'm just going to reiterate it on Legend Island. It isn't like the coaches just magically decided, we're going to play you and you're not going to have any say about it. Saban talked to Chris Black and talked to his family. And the young man actually said, I don't want a red shirt. I want to go win a championship. I want to play. If you need me, pull the red shirt off. Put me out there, I'll bust my ass for the team and help us get another ring. So, a ballsy move, but not only by the coaching staff, but by Black, and it shows a fairly extreme competitive drive in the young man. So, big time shout out to him on that whole thing.
Yeah, I believe this Alabama team is ready for Saturday. Hey, Thomas, let's get ready to go to a break if you want to, and when we come back, why don't we talk about the Auburn Tigers coaching situation? I can't wait to get your opinion on who you think might end up down there. And if the rumors are true tonight, swirling around the heavens of the college football world, Bobby Petrino will soon be the next Auburn coach. I can't wait to hear your view on that, T.
Absolutely. This is BAMS Radio on Wednesday, November the 28th. We are on Legend Island, but we're going to take a quick break. You want to join in the conversation, join us at 714-510-3707. We will be right back with more Bama craziness.
For a touchdown of savings that will make you want to do your own end zone dance. with Atlantic Bedding and Furniture.
Atlantic Bedding and Furniture.
Unlike the chain furniture stores, Atlantic Bedding and Furniture gives the Bama fan a choice in fine furniture at super low prices. We have over 30,000 items always in stock. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture will have exactly what you need for your rec room, man cave, or however you wish to celebrate that latest Bama victory. Our selection includes Simmons, Serta, Broyhill, and other name brands at a fraction of what other chain stores charge. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture is close by in Pelham, Alabama, on Highway 31. Come see us or check out our website at www.AtlanticBeddingAndFurniture.com. www.AtlanticBeddingAndFurniture.com. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture, the place to shop for great furniture deals with financing available.
Welcome back to Legend Island, hanging out with Thomas Watts tonight and the Church of College Football. Yes, we do have a little case of football madness. Football is a hell of a drug. Would you agree with that, Steve?
I'll have some more, please. I don't see it as a problem.
Hanging out on the island tonight, you're welcome to join us. We some late night sports pirates. That's what me and Thomas are. We just love the game of football. We don't mind talking about it. You're welcome to join us. We appreciate all our sponsors tonight on the island. I appreciate Delta Pond, my boy Gene Powell, a real life pond star down on the south side. I just appreciate everybody hanging out with us tonight. Check out my boy at Delta Pond. You'll be glad you did. Hey, Thomas, let's get a word on the Auburn football coaching search. We never have enough time not to burn the barn a little bit here on the island. Throw a little bit more gas on it. What's your view tonight? What are you hearing from your sources?
A lot of people are saying Bobby Petrino is in the driver's seat for that job. Very interesting hire for Auburn because Auburn has a problem. And it's not the NCAA sanction. It's not the investigation. It's not potential sanctions. It's not Pat Dye. It's not else. It's that Nick Saban is at Alabama, and Alabama is the absolute top of the heap. So Auburn has to hire a guy that wins in a hurry. So Who would step in and compete with Nick Saban? Bobby Petrino hasn't beaten Saban, but Bobby Petrino has put some competitive teams on the field. The guy that I'm hearing from Auburn fans is Malzahn. Malzahn's interesting. He was the offensive coordinator of 2010 our national championship team. He knows the players. He can go back and spread, and Auburn will probably be more competitive. But here's my problem with Gus Malzahn. Obviously, Auburn did not play disciplined, very fundamental football the past year. And yes, Malzahn wasn't there. But if you know the players, how are you going to be able to reinstill a sense of discipline that is very blatantly not there? So if I was Auburn, I would go all in with Bobby Petrino in a hurry because I just don't think Gus Malzahn is going to get you there. Now, I could be dead wrong, but, again, I'm just going to repeat myself, and I'm going to kick it back to you, legend. Bobby Petrino is probably the best guy for this job right now.
Well, the thing about Bobby Petrino is Nick Saban owns him. I mean, we've had some very nice success against Bobby Petrino in Arkansas, and the reality is Bobby Petrino, take away all the drama, and get down to bare football facts, he's an outstanding offensive coach. But he couldn't recruit a defense if he had the Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers, and New England Patriot players to choose from. I mean, the guy is just historically bad in recruiting defensive players. So I say bring him on. I think it's a great choice because I was the first one to tell it on Fine Bomb when Danny Shannon told it at the touchdown club that Auburn already had a deal in place with Bobby Petrino. Here's the good news. Even though they got rid of Gene Chizik, they kept Jay Jacobs. Thank God they kept Jay Jacobs. So I just want to take a moment in the Church of College Football and say thank God the Barn kept Jay Jacobs, a great man for the University of Alabama, sure to make a bad decision. The Barn is burning. Who are some outside coaches? Is there a possibility Thomas Kirby Smart ends up at Auburn?
I've heard that name kicked about, and I just don't see it. Kirby Smart can name his job. He can wait until Georgia comes open if Bricks get fired. He can wait for whatever he's ever had, whatever his heart, whatever job his heart desires, he can wait for. He's never intoned that he's waiting for Auburn to open up. Why go there? Yeah, you want to run your program, but then you have to go compete against your boss every year in everything. And I don't know. I have a hard time believing it. But it would be a good move for him if he wanted to run his own program, but it's a tough, tough sell. I also think the Bama Board of Trustees, if Kirby Smart said, I want to go to Auburn, would give him another raise to keep him at Alabama, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe, and you're breaking up some. I don't know if the listening audience can hear it. For some reason, you're breaking up. You sound good for a second and break up. I don't know if you can fix that on the board or aware of it. Like I said, we're Sports Pirates Radio out here, surfing on the wild winds of sports craziness here on Legend Island tonight, BAMS Radio. And we're talking Auburn coaching. And the reality is this program is a dumpster fire. It's a disaster. It is in total, total chaos tonight. And there's no quick fix because the NCAA hammer will soon come down upon this program. And basically, this program now has to climb over Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, LSU, Alabama. There's just too many mountains now to climb for this program. Yes, they won a national championship. But yes, at the moment, this is a team now that has taken the same route that Colorado took a few years back. They are now possibly the worst team in a division within a conference. And that is pretty bad. Thomas, am I preaching in the Church of College Football tonight, or am I lying? You tell me. Am I just celebrating over something I shouldn't be celebrating over, or is this a truthful statement?
Well, I mean, the record, Auburn speaks for itself. The first team to go 0-0, that's the record. The each team, 7th in the SEC West, there no game that they played in was really something where you're like, huh, Auburn had a lot of chances to win this game. Miss, they had a couple shots. Mississippi State had about 2.5 quarters. But it's the team has fallen on its own face, and it's going to now, like, using your metaphor, to get back competing with LSU and Alabama, they have to get back to competing with Texas A&M, who isn't going to go away. Not going to go away. Ole Miss, Hugh Freeze has got that thing rolling. And Dan Mullen has got Mississippi State to where they're going to win, you know, 7, 8, 9 games a year. I'm like, really, really tough to fucking make headway here. And I think we just lost Legend. Okay, this is going to get real interesting. Legend, if you can hear me, call back. I will get you back on ASAP. I think I am going to take a quick break while Legend calls back in. If you want to join in the conversation, you might just be conversing with me for a moment, but hopefully Legend will be back on momentarily. The number is 714-510-3707. You're listening to Legend Island on BAMS Radio on Wednesday, November the 28th. Thank you very much for being with us, and we will be right back.
Radio. We're not your average sports talk show. All Bama, all the time. Bringing the lumber for Alabama sports.
Sunbelt Inflatable Tents can supply you with custom-designed tents for your tailgate needs. Corporations, businesses,
or just the most hardcore fans are the customers of Sunbelt Inflatable Tents.
Reach them at their website, www.sunbeltinflatabletents.com, and ask for Billy. Or call 251-247-1169 to order.
From high atop Bluff Park, BAMS Radio is on the air. BAMSRadio.com.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. You better stop the thing that you do. I said, oh, watch out.
And we are back on BAMS Radio. It's about 9:30 on Wednesday night. We're still looking for legend, so you just got me, Thomas Watts, to talk a little Bama football. So I need some listener help. If you want to jump on and give us your thoughts, you want to call me crazy for saying that Georgia is actually not terrifying to me, please do give us a call at 714-510-3707. Otherwise, I'm going to have to end the episode because as much as I like to hear myself talk, I cannot talk for 57 minutes by myself, and I'm sure there would be listeners out there that would want to jump through the internet and strangle me, and I'm not sure I could blame them. We do have one caller, and I apologize. My dogs decided to tune up the band for no reason. There's obviously some random person outside my window. But we do have one caller. I'm going to go and bring them on with me. And if they were looking for legend, I'm just going to have to apologize and I'll put them back on hold. But a caller, 205-300, you're on live with me, Thomas Watts. I don't have legend for you. He's having some connectivity issues. Oh, there's legend. Just one second. All right, we've got legend back on. Caller, 8814 number. What you got for us this evening?
Gosh, Thomas, I didn't want to talk to Legend. I wanted to talk to you. This is Carla from Jasper.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. It feels good to be back on Legend's Island. I can feel the sand between the toes, and it feels great. How are y'all doing tonight?
I'm great. Trying to make sure this radio station's held together with spit and baling wire, but I'll take it any day of the week.
Walker, I got plenty of duct tape.
I feel like Johnny Depp, Carla. We got it patched together. It's falling apart. We're going down the river, but we're still having fun on the island because we're in the SEC championship game.
I hear you. Well, have y'all bought your lottery tickets yet?
No, have you?
I did, and I tell you what, if I win, I would buy Cam Newton back so Auburn will have a bad chance in hell of winning the football game back again.
Oh. Ouch.
Are you enjoying the downfall of Auburn?
Do what?
Are you enjoying the downfall of Auburn?
Well, yeah. The bad man said so. Hey, listen, so, you know, I've got a question. All these Auburn fans that I've been hearing, they don't want Petrino to be their coach. But I also have to wonder, how many of them voted for Bill Clinton for president? What's the difference?
That is actually a good point.
Did nothing horrible. I mean, nothing millions of other people hadn't done. I mean, I think he fits in well at Auburn. I mean, I really do. I mean,
well, who do they expect to get? Do you think they expect to get Jimbo Fisher?
I think
Jimbo Fisher's a possibility, without a doubt. He's somebody's out there that Auburn would like to have, but I just don't see Jimbo Fisher leaving his situation at Florida State. That's a team that would be a top three team going into next season to take over an Auburn program, maybe headed for the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking crack rocks.
You speak my language. Listen, guys, I just wanted to call back and thank y'all. Good to talk to you again, legend.
I hope you and your husband have a wonderful, happy holidays.
You too, buddy. Talk to you later.
Okay, thank you. Thomas, it seemed like Carla's enjoying the downfall of the Auburn Tigers.
Well, I think if you bleed crimson and white, you're smiling on the inside and on the outside as you watch the trouble on the plains continue to develop. I'm certainly not complaining.
No, me neither. I mean, it's the most joyous time of the year.
You mean the time where Nick Saban got another Auburn coach fired and Alabama fans are joyous? Yeah. Becoming a yearly thing, from what I understand.
Thomas, I only can say one thing during this time of the season when so many great things are said and so many people are uplifted and so many people just have wonderful toasts for their family, their friends, their loved ones. I only can say one thing that brings great joy to everyone. 49-0.
I saw that. I had to wake myself up to realize it was the Iron Bowl, but, you know, I saw that happen, and it made me happy. So, 49-0, that's all I got. That's all I need, actually.
It is a wonderful thing. And talking about wonderful things, let me tell everybody about my friend Michael at Black Warrior Printing on University. Check him out. If you got any kind of cards, specialized cards, business cards you need. If you need some color copies for some upcoming events, 39 cents a piece, Black Warrior Printing right there on University. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. Hey, let me also tell everybody about Work Play. Tommy Williams, he's coming to the place to hang out in Birmingham. Just was down there. Everybody was down there for the Jocks event. I missed it this past week, but everybody was there talking about Bama. In the Alabama-Auburn showdown, it became a beatdown. But that's where everybody hangs out on Sunday, Thomas. Are you an NFL man?
I consider college football to be my job because I do write and cover it. NFL is my release. I love sitting down about noon and not leaving the couch until about 11. That's my general Sunday.
Well, I tell you, at Work Play, they have the NFL ticket every Sunday, and that's where I'm going to start hanging out on Sundays, and I like to invite you down to hang out with me. All the games on the big screens, it's going on at Work Play in Birmingham. But, hey, I'd like to get some NFL picks from you. Who you like this year headed for the AFC and the NFC for the Super Bowl?
Ooh, that's a good one, and I always get AFC and NFC confused. Well, honestly, looking at just teams, I'm not sure that the 85 Bears could stop the Patriots this year. That offense is just clicking. They are blowing people away. And it's not all bad teams that they're just destroying. They're destroying some really good ones, too. So I like how the Patriots are looking, particularly on offense. The acquisition of Aqib Talib from the Bucks might actually pay dividends and shore up what was a pretty rough around the edges Pats D. They've had a ton of special teams and defensive turnovers over the past 3 weeks. Thank God I haven't played that team in my fantasy football league. But out of the NFC, I gotta love. I love watching the 49ers play. Justin and Alden Smith are just absolute beasts on the edge. It's really funny to me that a guy in, I think I don't remember which one it is. It's the white guy. I think it's Justin Smith. He has said he doesn't have any pass rushing technique. He just runs at you and knocks you either into the backfield, out of the way, or both, and sacks quarterback. He doesn't do any moves. He just bull rushes. It's no big deal, and it works. And Colin Kaepernick, for all of the controversy over him replacing Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick's through two games, and I realize the sample size is small, Kaepernick's looked pretty doggone good throughout. So I like the Pats Niners right now. I think that in the NFC, you could have a couple of other teams. The Niners are definitely not a lock. I don't buy the Texans and the Falcons. I'm sorry. The Falcons are one of the first teams in the past, like, 40 years to win 7 games by, like, 4 or fewer points and not have any losses. And the Texans have given up just insane amounts of passing yards to the Lions, which the Lions are respectable, particularly on offense. But the Jaguars? Raise your hand if the Jaguars has had an offensive player do anything this season before they played the Texans 2 weeks ago. So I don't buy the 10-1 teams. I'm going Pats Niners right now.
I like that selection, but I'm kind of going to disagree with you on one thing. I kind of like the Chicago Bears this year for some reason. Defense wins championships, and that is one team that has really performed well this year. They have kind of took on the old look of that great 85 Bear team this year. Charles Tillman has been a beast. I mean, just an extraordinary player, playmaker for that defense. Urlacher looking good again. I really like the Bears, and I have never been a big Jay Cutler fan, but suddenly this team has really took on a new dimension to me this season. Some big disappointments, and shout-out to the most beautiful woman in the world, Angie, tonight, and Hayden and Ava, wonderful, just young kids. Love them tonight. And just say this, some major disappointments in the NFL. The Cowboys would have to be right there, wouldn't they? I mean, who are some of your major disappointments? And we just have football madness. We're out here on the sea, radio sports pirates. If it's football, we love it. We talk it. We break it down. We eat it like a meal. It's what we do. But major disappointments, Cowboys would have to be right there, wouldn't you say, T?
I think the Cowboys, I think you have to say they underachieved. They really put a hurting on the Giants in week one, and then they've just been inconsistent. They almost lost to, they probably should have lost to the Cleveland Browns. Then Washington, who, yes, Washington's been playing very well, but Robert Griffin III has been, he's been playing very well, and then a couple of games he just curls up and disappears. The Redskins had lost their biggest two pass rushers in Arakpo and the other one whose name escapes me. Their defense has just been a sieve, is the point I'm trying to make. And they still lose to the Redskins. But I think the biggest disappointment has to be the Philadelphia Eagles. They go out last year. They had Nnamdi Asamoah. They trade Kevin Cobb for Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. They grab all this expensive talent, and they're going to be the dream team, the dynasty, blah, 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 and they're 3-8 this year. Now, everyone's very quick to jump on Andy Reid, and Reid hasn't done a great job this year, but the Philadelphia Eagles have also had a ton of offensive linemen get injured. And in a league where you have to pass, and in order to pass, you need to give your quarterback time,
the fact that Michael Vick basically comes out of a play-action pass to a defensive end sticking a helmet in his chest is definitely not going to be very conducive to success. But you still have to say the Eagles. That Eagles defense should have been a lot better than it is, and it just never has clicked.
Another major disappointment, the Philadelphia Eagles this year. A couple of surprises. I really like what my Indianapolis Colts have done this year. Andrew Luck, I mean, he really, they talking about the kid at San Francisco reminding somebody of Tom Brady. I have to disagree. He's a different type quarterback than Tom Brady, but a very good one. But Andrew Luck, I mean, come on. He's got the Colts on the verge of a playoff berth. I have to say the Colts have to be one of the most pleasant surprises, even though New England beat them like a redheaded stepchild last week. They bounce back and take Buffalo out this week to stay on top of the wild card race in the AFC. Who's some of your pleasant surprises in the NFL this year?
Well, I have to agree on the Colts. Chuck Pagano is battling leukemia, and that is very unfortunate. So you definitely, it's a feel-good story that the Colts are playing so well. The Colts are great. Andrew Luck has really elevated that team. A surprise for me that they're kind of teetering on surprise, not. I'm going to go the Dolphins. Hard Knocks was a gigantic joke for that Miami team. People were saying they might not win a game. I mean, just all kinds of extreme negativity around that program. They beat a good Seahawks team. You know, the Seahawks are not very good. The Seahawks are a good team. They beat them last week. And now they're staring down New England. If by some miracle the Dolphins get by New England, which I don't see happening, but it's the NFL, so anything can happen, the Dolphins are right back in it too. So I'm going to go Dolphins. I think Philbin has shown he's a pretty real deal, particularly because Tannehill was drafted higher than I thought he deserved to be. But it's worked out for the Dolphins this year. So just they got to avoid the sophomore slump.
We're talking college football. We're talking pro football. We love football. Football is a hell of a drug, as we said earlier tonight. We're going to take a – hey, Thomas, let's get ready to go to our last break. Then we'll have about 10 minutes. And in the last 10 minutes, I'd like to pick your brain on who you think's going to win Saturday night and what that matchup with Notre Dame will look like come Miami time. Hey, bro, appreciate you hanging out on the island with me tonight.
Absolutely. We do have a caller also, so we can take that in our next break. But if you want to join in the conversation with us, the number is 714-510-3707. Feel free to give us a call. We're kicking back on the island. I'm about to mix up a pitch for margaritas. Talk to you all on the back side of this break.
Brother.
There you go.
Mobetta Opinions on BAMS Radio. BAMS Radio. We know how to buckle a chin strap. Lumber is applied here to the boobs. AG, Bird, and Blitz. Sick'em.
We need Bama Vodka fast.
Daddy, who's those scary-looking bottles riding into town?
That's Frenchy V and his gang.
Oh, what American vodka is there that can challenge their French-made vodka?
Who's that coming, Daddy, to save us?
Bama.
That's Bama Smooth American Vodka. 80-proof Bama Vodka packs 6 distillations, and no one in the world can match his Alabama limestone filtration.
Oh, chocolate blue! Au revoir, Bama! Yeehaw! Look at those Frenchies scram!
we invite you to taste Bama Vodka and judge for yourself. Who makes the best tasting vodka in the world? Bama Smooth American Vodka. Product of the USA, Solomon Spirits Corporation, Auburndale, Florida.
Welcome back to Legend Hour, and hanging out here on BAMS Radio as we go into the final quarter of the show. We appreciate the callers tonight and everybody listening. And as I said before the break, I'd like to hear what Thomas has to say about a possible Alabama-Notre Dame matchup. I don't see it as much of a threat. How are you looking at it, T?
The Georgia game? Well, I think the Georgia wide receivers will have difficulty. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Geno Smith has worked his way into the nickel corner role as well as being in the dime defense. Georgia lost all top two wide receivers, season-ending injuries this year, and they've had to move Malcolm Mitchell to do everything, both offense and defense guys, strictly to offense to try and offset those losses. Aaron Murray's excellent, but he hasn't played very well against top competition. Gershel's very good, but not many teams really run very well in Alabama. There are not many teams in the country that can line up and play powerball against the Alabama defense. So I think that Alabama is at best a push on the defensive side. And I think there are some places that you can highlight where Alabama has a very decided advantage on defense. Alabama offense versus Georgia's defense. I think this one really turns on John Jenkins versus Barrett Jones. John Jenkins, a 6'3", 351-pound nose tackle for the Bulldogs. Great player. Barrett Jones, I could be here all night listing the young man's accolades. Great. Great team leader, great center, great tackle, great guard, et cetera, et cetera. If Jenkins can get moved and Alabama's linemen can get to the second level and block linebackers, it'd be a long night for Georgia. Georgia secondary, Bakari Rambo, Sanders Cummings, all of those guys that I've talked about, a lot of experience, but can they keep up with Chris Black, having never seen him on tape? I think they could, but that something's got to give in that secondary. Do they combo cover Amari Cooper? Okay, Chris Black can be one-on-one, and Chris Black can burn you. Can Jarvis Jones get to A.J. McCarron so that Chris Black doesn't have time to burn you? He probably will. I would expect Jarvis Jones to have a pretty good game, but there's nothing that makes me think he's suddenly going to take the game over. So I'm going to stick with my pick and say 27-17 Bama. And if we want to talk Notre Dame, Notre Dame beat Stanford, and Stanford's a lot like Alabama. But everything Stanford does, Alabama can do, but can do it a lot better. And they're going to have 40 days to prepare for all of Notre Dame's tendencies. And not even preparation. Get healthy. You are out of your mind. Like, I have beachfront property in rural Kansas to sell you. If you don't think there are some injuries on the Alabama squad to some of Alabama's best players that players are just playing through. I realize Notre Dame gets the same treatment, but if you give me one team to win one game against any college football team, everything being equal rest-wise and injury-wise, I'm taking Alabama against the field. So that's what I've got, but I'm really focused on the SEC championship right now, quite honestly.
I like that kind of thinking. That kind of thinking wins championships. Hey, talking about championships, let me tell everybody about a couple of our sponsors before we get out of here tonight. Wing Out Sports Grill at the old Grumps location in downtown Birmingham. Hey, that's a must stop. My friend Derek down there has got the best wings in the Birmingham area. If you ever get down there on 3rd Avenue South, you got to check out Wing Out Sports Grill at the old Grump location. And also my friend over there, Bob Bikes, Yeah, I ain't forgot about you. Bob Bikes, if you're looking for a bicycle, if you need any kind of bike, any kind of accessory to a bike, you got to check out my friend at Bob's Bikes. You can check out him online and check out some of the coolest bikes in America. And man, hey, Thomas, I appreciate you hanging out with me tonight on the island, man. I know we're winding down to the last few seconds.
Well, we do have a caller on. If you want to jump in real quick. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Marty, you're live with Thomas and the Legend. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Hey, Legend, I'm glad that you're flashing the Bama sign on top of the lighthouse tonight. I would have floated right by tonight.
Well, Marty, you made my day. I thought you weren't going to make the island tonight. I was looking around and said, where my boy Marty at? Me and Thomas, we loving it, but it just ain't right unless you stop by, my friend.
Man, I like that lighthouse with the Bama flashing. That sure is nice. Hey, Thomas, I want to shout out to you, man. You are a trooper. I mean, I don't think BAM's radio could survive without you. You do a great job. You need a pat on the back tonight, man. You're a trooper.
Good job.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Couple things I want to bring up real quick. I know we're pressed on time. You know, we all know that Bobby Petrino is going to be the next coach at Auburn. I mean, you know, all the smoke and mirrors they're doing, saying they're interviewing Charlie Strong. They always bring in a black coach to say they're going to do something. Remember Turner Gill, they did the same thing with him. We all know that Bobby Petrino is going to be the next Auburn coach. But let's think about this. You know, Will, how do you think the character of Trooper Taylor is going to mix with Bobby Petrino? You know, Bobby Petrino's a pretty good scumbag.
Did we lose him?
We might have lost him. I'm still showing him on the board, but... Oh, okay, it just came through, I think. Marty, you broke up. Could you repeat what you just said?
Yeah, Bobby, we all know that Bobby Petrino's going to be the next coach at Auburn. Regardless how many black coaches they interview and want to... that perception to be, hey, we want this guy, we want this. We all know that Bobby Petrino is going to be the coach. What about Trooper Taylor? How is that character going to mix with Bobby Petrino? Or is he going to fire them? What do you think about that, Legend?
I think he's got to bring in a whole new staff. I really do. I don't think you can I don't see how you could keep anybody from that coaching staff at all. You agree with me, Thomas, especially because they've been pulled off the NCAA recruiting trail by the NCAA already. So I wouldn't see how you could possibly keep a coach like that. You know, I just don't see it. It's got to be a whole new staff.
If there's one guy that I would consider keeping, if you look at Auburn staff top to bottom, I would kind of have to lean on Brian Van Gorder just because you know Bobby Petrino is going to turn the Auburn offense around. But,
Uncle Rico.
Well, yeah. One, it'd be hysterically funny joke for the Alabama fan base throughout his tenure. But even more than that, Brian Van Gorder is a proven defensive coordinator. I personally think that he had a little bit of trouble this year dumbing down his system. And that is not
Thomas,
to say
Thomas,
that,
Thomas.
What?
You've been drinking too much Bama vodka. He just gave up 49 pellets.
I understand, but just hear me out on this. Just hear me out on this point. I honestly think he had a lot of trouble dumbing down his system because the difference between the NFL game and the college game is not only talent and ability and desire and all that, it's time. Where if the Falcons are going to go play the Saints, Brian Van Gorder can plug in 200 or 300 or 400 various defensive calls, and he has time to practice them. He has meetings to go over them with these players. And if the players don't get this stuff done, they can get cut and be out on the street not getting paid. Whereas in college, you don't have as much time. You can't put in that many calls. So I think he got behind the eight ball early and could never make up the time. I also think that there are some players that on Auburn's football team that can't think their way out of a paper bag, so you gave them something hard to figure out and they couldn't do it. But that's about the only coach that I would even think that Auburn should consider bringing back. The rest, get rid of them. I'm sorry. Trooper Taylor might be a fabulous recruiter and he might be the hype sideline guy, but come on. The NCAA is after him at this point. Just get him out.
Hey, Marty, we're running out of time, buddy. Well, what else you got for us?
Well, one thing real quick, you know, Eyes on Auburn that comes on 97.3, you know, they claim that Trooper, Looper, and all of them are going to hit the recruiting trail. So if the NCAA is after them and they have sideline Trooper, why are they saying they're on the recruiting trail? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, let me take this one, Legend. I believe I read that most of the Auburn staff, aside from Gene Chizik, is staying on until the new staff is in place just to try and maintain the recruiting class so that Auburn's not going to take an even bigger step back than they already have taken. Past that, I'm not sure what to tell you, quite honestly. There's a lot of hearsay about whether Trooper and Looper have been pulled off the recruiting trail or if they were pulled off, are they back on? The fact of the matter is, I don't know. I kind of wish I knew, but I don't want to spend time figuring out the wiles of a 3-9 program. I have more important things to do, like staring at a paint-drying wall, but that's just me. I don't know what to tell you other than my speculation, though. What about you, Legend? Have you heard anything?
I heard that Auburn is a dumpster fire. Hey, Thomas, let's get out of here, man. Marty, love you, dude. Appreciate you coming to the island. Appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate everybody calling in. Love Marty. He brings it every week. Thomas, appreciate you hanging out on the island, man. Let's get out of here. We coming back Sunday night, or what's the word?
Well, I'm not sure. I hadn't even thought about that. But it's going to be celebrating the SEC championship. If Burr can't do it because he's got to go down to a doctor's thing, I'll run a show on Sunday. I'll get in touch with you via Twitter. The planet Sunday 7-ish, but I'll confirm with you.
All right. Sounds good. It sounds like a date. Hey, thanks for listening to BAMS Radio, the Legend Island. We'll be back on Sunday night celebrating our white beat down. You heard it. 27-14. It's close for a while, but Bama pulls away. We love you tonight. Be good to one another. Just remember, victory don't come to those that are great. It comes to those that don't quit. Love you, baby. Legend out.